Thank you very much, Mr. Johnson, for that cordial introduction. I appreciate it. I also appreciate the privilege of being with you today to discuss with you some of your problems as I see them. Express my own point of view on a subject which is close to the heart of every person in the world. Family life. This national conference on family life in this country, I'm told, is also of vital interest to a large number of visitors which we have here. I'm informed that we have enough representatives of foreign nations to have a meeting of the United Nations here if we want to do it. And that is helpful and encouraging to us. We are interested in the security and the welfare of the family because that's the fundamental unit on which all governments are formed. Governments are formed for the purpose of being of service to the family as a unit in our conception of what government ought to be. For that reason, the welfare and the security of the family is vital to every government in the world. I'm very much interested in the history of government from its very beginning. And I'm more than interested in the government of the United States and how it originated. You see, people came, and they came north of us. The French fur traders went to Canada for a purpose, for the enrichment of themselves and to take things out of the country. Families came to the United States to build homes and to create settlements and to live in peace. Therefore, today, when you look back on the settlement of North America, you wonder how it was ever done. Well, I've been to Plymouth Rock, and I've been to Rhode Island, and I've been to the James River's mouth, to Jamestown. I've been to South Carolina, and I've been to the coast of North Carolina, and I've been to Georgia. And I look at some of the things that those ancestors of ours had to contend with, and I wonder how in the world they ever did it. I'll tell you how they did it. They did it because there was an incentive. They brought with them ideals. They brought with them an idea of God. They brought with them an idea of liberty. And as a result, we have, I think, the greatest republic on which the sun has ever shone. I'm interested also in the opening of that part of the country west of the Appalachian Mountains. My ancestors had some interest in that and some of the things there. And then we do. Right now, in our modern family setup, we're short of housing. We're studying health programs. We're working on the expansion of Social Security. All those things have their bearing upon the family and upon the government of the United States, upon your government. It is absolutely essential that we solve these problems just as our ancestors solved them. Our housing shortage is almost a fatal one. For 4 years, I've been attempting to get a housing program. I was in the Senate of the United States when the Wagner-Ellender-Taft bill was first introduced, and the Senate passed that bill. It died in the House. Just recently, the Senate has passed the Taft-Ellender-Wagner bill. In wonderful form. I'm wholeheartedly for that bill as it passed the Senate. And I sincerely hope that the House of Representatives will study that legislation and give us an opportunity to help meet some of the shortages which we're now faced. That problem is vital. We have millions of veterans who've returned from fighting for the liberty of this country and of the world, who are not able to find homes for themselves and their wives and their children. Just recently, on this free parking lot of the great city of Washington, it was necessary to have people move on who'd been living there indefinitely. And I remember one case in particular where a young man and his wife and their baby and the dog had to be ejected from the parking lot down here because they couldn't let them stay there any longer, and they had no place to go. They couldn't find a place in this great city of Washington who would let a baby and a dog come and live. Now, how are you going to raise a family under that condition? Children and dogs are as necessary to the welfare of this country as is Wall Street and the railroad or any other part of the country. We've got to find a solution for that, and that's what you're here for. See if you can help us meet those problems. I'm only the servant of the people of the United States. I can only do what the law authorizes me to do as President of the United States. I'm the enforcement part of the government of the United States for the laws that are passed by the Congress. That's my duty. That's what I'm sworn to do. People talk about the powers of the President and what a powerful executive he is and what he can do. Well, let me tell you something from experience. The president may have a great many powers given to him in the Constitution and may have powers under certain laws which are given to him by the Congress of the United States. But the principal power that the president has is to bring people in and try to persuade them to do what they ought to do without persuasion. That's what he spends most of his time doing. That's what the powers of the president amount to. And you can help the president with those powers if you tell these gentlemen on this housing bill about which I was talking what they ought to do. They'll probably listen to you better than they will to me. At least some of them will. There's some of them I can talk to with satisfaction and get something out of. Some of them are running for re-election next fall. One of the worst things we're faced with this year is the fact that we have a presidential campaign, and all the members of the House of Representatives have to be reelected. That's a part of our system, and it's all right. But with some of the problems with which we're faced now, it's too bad that that has come along this time. I hope that nothing in the world will interfere with our bipartisan foreign policy. That policy... If we expect to get peace in the world, that policy must be carried to its logical conclusion. We're interested, as you know, only in peace in this world and in the welfare of the family units of the world as a whole, as well as our own. That's all I've been trying to get since August the 14th, 1945, when Japan folded up. Everybody is interested in peace. And unless we have peace, we can have nothing else about which I've been talking. That we must attain. That we're going to attain. We're on the road, even if it looks rough and rugged and rocky. But we'll overcome that situation as we've overcome a great many others in our past history. And we can't let this one stop us. We're going to make the United Nations work for peace, and that's all we want. Now, you ladies and gentlemen can make a very great contribution to that by helping us solve our own home family problems. which have a bearing on the very thing I'm talking about. If this country is happy and prosperous, and everybody's at work, and everybody can be happy in each situation, that will contribute to our help, which we're trying to give for the recovery of Europe and Asia. And that means peace and prosperity for the whole world. And there's room enough for everybody in this world, and room enough for everybody to have peace and to have enough to eat and a place to sleep. You just take a survey of the continent and see the blank places where pioneering could still be done. It can be conclusively proved that if we solve the international problems with which we're now faced, and if we keep working at the solution of our domestic problems, all of them can be solved. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your taking the time out and the trouble to come here and work on your own time for something that is of vital interest to the United States and to the world as a whole. I hope you'll furnish us with some solutions to some of the problems with which we're faced. You can do it if you set your mind to do it, and you can help solve them. That's the principal thing. The president can't solve problems by himself. The Congress can't solve problems. The president and the Congress and the country can solve any problem that comes before us. Now let's get this one done. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard the President of the United States. And now, our national anthem.